Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture. With your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection. Tonight's guest has once again created a collection of music that will be a delight to the ears and a challenge to the heart. Where the Good Way Lies is Winnipeg singer-songwriter Steve Bell's newest CD and features songs that speak both of the human condition and God's grace. Steve is on the phone with us from his home in Winnipeg to talk about Where the Good Way Lies. But before we get to our interview with Steve, let's listen to Ash Wednesday from Steve Bell's new CD, Where the Good Way Lies.
Trim arrows straight and true, fly with all our longings to the very heart of suffering love that draws the singing sorrows up. Love is strewn among the thickets there beside the objects of our heart's desire. Love bruises to the bone when it falls among the thorny paths and fields of stone. If this is all we've known, what makes the body ache, the land a better home? And fiery dark that errant flies from earnest hearts. You know it all too well. We talk of love, but love will tell. Saints are fashioned from the start when love befalls the faint of heart. Love bruises to the bone when it falls among the thorny paths and fields of stone. If this is all we know, what makes the body ache, the land a better home? We gather and we pray and hope against the day when every sorrow flies, redeemed among the sparrows of the open skies, free to scale the lofty heights above, free to fall into the heart of love.
And now to our conversation with Steve Bell. Good evening, Steve.
Hey, how are you doing, Robert?
Not bad. Now, before we talk about the actual songs on the CD, and that, I want to talk about the way it was made. Now, one of the things that's really neat about this is you went back to using analog technology, which, maybe you can give us a little bit of an idea, remind those of us who don't know what that is, and what was the decision that led up to you doing analog technology at this time?
Analog recording is just how we've all recorded until just the last 15 years when digital recording came in. And most people can probably, they've seen it in movies or whatever, just remember the reel-to-reel days, the tape. When recorded on tape, those big 2-inch thick reels. And that's analog, that's what that is. That got replaced in the last 20 years or so, and analog is pretty much now a thing of the past. But, I mean, I grew up on it, and my manager and producer grew up on it, and we loved that. We loved the sound of it. We loved the way the technology. How do I describe this? It's a slower way of recording. It's more gentle in a sense. But anyways, we've kept all that gear from those days in my studio, and only just because it looks funky, not because we've used it. And we're getting older and nostalgic, and my manager and I looked at each other one day and said, I wonder what it would be like to fire that stuff up and see if it sounds as good as we remembered it. And the more we talked about it, we just thought this would be a great idea. And it turns out that one of the few people that can retrofit analog recording gear in North America lives in Winnipeg, and so we brought him in, and he took weeks to go through our gear and had to get parts from all over the world and had to find virgin tape, and it was quite a process. But with a bit of blood and sweat and a fair bit of money, we got the gear up and running and recorded the album.
Now, is analog used that much anymore?
Not so much. I mean, it's getting a resurgence now because this next generation is finding playing records again is a wonderful way of experiencing music. And so, I mean, obviously records can come from digital recordings, but as people are starting to understand that there's a warmth and there's a beauty and there's a muscliness to analog recording, I think more and more of these machines are starting to get retrofitted and work, but only a little bit. A lot of them just don't exist.
Yeah, you mentioned that warmth. I mean, that was the first thing I noticed when I put the CD on and started listening to Bring It On, that warmth was there, and my immediate thought was, I miss that sound. There's good elements to digital recording, there's good elements to analog, but there is a difference between the sound in the two.
Yeah, and it's something, it's almost more felt than heard. I mean, you can hear it, but it's more subterranean than just, you know, what you hear on the surface of your ears.
Yeah.
There's a beauty and a depth and a warmth to it.
Yeah.
I mean, but not if you look at the difference between film and digital cameras, it's the same, you know.
Yeah.
There's a clarity to digital video that actually is not nice.
Yeah.
And film has a smokiness to it that's really beautiful on the eyes. And still, most people in film world would much rather shoot on film than on digital.
Yeah. Well, what I found interesting was, I mean, I grew up on analog. I'm old enough to remember, you know, the old analog recordings and watching the the making of documentaries and that and seeing them with the tapes and the boards and all that stuff. And I grew up with that, and then, you know, of course, lately I've been listening to a lot of digital music, and it was as soon as I heard the first bit of the beginning of the album, I really noticed that difference between the two. Well, one of the questions is why this CD at this particular...
Almost an emotional response.
Yeah.
It's not just... It's quite profound.
Yeah. So, but why this CD at this particular time?
I think, you know, it was an idea that dawned on us for no particular reason. We're getting older. We're getting nostalgic. You know, I've got grandkids. I've got dying parents. I've got, you know, and I'm in that stage of life where you're kind of looking back as much as you're looking forward. In fact, you're almost looking back more than you're looking forward. And even the title track would suggest it, because Where the Good Way Lies comes from Jeremiah 6:16, which is, go stand at the crossroads, ask for the ancient paths, see where the good way lies, and walk in it. And I think I'm at the stage of life where that kind of bit of wisdom draws me. And so I think that's partially, of course, you know, why I'd be attracted to, you know, unearthing an older form of recording to see if there's goodness in it.
Well, and speaking of unearthing things, one of the things you did was you brought a trumpet in, and played trumpet on the CD. What led you to doing that?
Well, almost nobody knows this, but I was heading to be a career trumpeter in my youth. Guitar was something I did as a hobby. I wasn't a songwriter growing up, not very much anyway. I was a trumpet player, a bit of a star player, and fully expected to have a career as a trumpeter. And for a bunch of reasons that we don't have time for, I ended up putting the trumpet down, and the guitar became primary, and then songwriting, and then singing songwriting, and my career sort of happened to me very different than what I thought. And I haven't played the trumpet for years, don't even own one. But right at the same time that Dave and I were kind of getting all sort of melancholy about digital, about analog recording, I walked into a music store, and they're making these plastic trumpets now. Like, you can buy them for $150, and they're actually not bad. And I just, something in me suddenly wanted to play, and I bought this thing, brought it home, and started loving playing. Soon, the instrument itself was sort of lesser than I needed it to be, and I actually found the trumpet of my youth, the guy that bought it from me years ago, and got it back and started to play, and so it ends up on the album. But it was just more of a surprise thing than to all of us,
mm-hmm.
That I got my lip back, and I happened to have some songs that actually suited trumpet, and there it is.
Yeah, and they did. They're certainly, when I listen to the album and hear the trumpet parts, you can, it definitely is in there, and it's not an add on. It actually, you know, fills in and helps fill
I'm glad because spaces, I did worry that people are going to feel like some bizarre mutant appendage or something.
Yeah, no.
But it really does. It is a deep part of my history. It's just that people don't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I grew up in the Salvation Army, so brass music is part of my DNA. So.
Right. Nice. Oh yeah. So you must have grown up listening to Lighthouse in Chicago.
Oh yeah, 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 and Earth, Wind, and Fire, and yeah.
Put in Tears, all those bands.
Yeah, the Tower of Power. So, well, let's take a quick break here, and then we're going to continue our conversation with singer-songwriter Steve Bell. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
Seven sacred teachings.
Seven sacred days creation took, so the ancient stories tell. All was done, the author called it good, and it was good so long ago.
So long ago,
long ago.
Stories told.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Where the Good Way Lies, the title track from Steve Bell's latest CD, Where the Good Way Lies. I'm your host, Robert White. We're going to continue our conversation with Steve. We've just listened to a portion of that title track, and the neat thing about that is it features a hip-hop artist from Winnipeg named Fresh IE, as well as a First Nations singer, Coco Ray Stevenson. Just how did all of that come together to create both the message and the sound of this song?
Well, what's interesting and what people might not know is that, I don't really engineer my music in advance. It kind of happens to me, and then when we get into the recording studio, I usually have no idea how it's going to turn out. We just start throwing things on tape or a digital recording or whatever, and things emerge. And so this song, I recorded it, and it has a bit more of an energetic groove, which is not all that typical for a Steve Bell record. And I remember when we were listening to it, it just suddenly felt like it needed an energy lift of some sort. And where could that come from? And I thought of Fresh IE, who's a great hip hop rap artist. He's a good friend of mine. He also happens to be he's partially African American and partially First Nations. And I just phoned him up and I said, I don't know if this is inappropriate and I don't know if this could work, but could you listen to this and see if you could have something to say on this track? And he just immediately emailed me back and said, I don't think, I know. And he showed up about a week later and in 10 minutes laid that down. It was incredible. And then, we were so astonished at what it did to the track, and it was just so perfect. And it felt still incomplete to me, and it suddenly dawned on me that, you know, there's all this First Nations wisdom embedded in the song, and it would be just wrong not to actually have First Nations voice. And Kokoway Stevenson is a powwow singer, traditional powwow singer, Cree man here in Winnipeg, and he's brilliant. I've seen him at powwows, and he always moves me so much. His pathos is incredible. And I don't know him all that well, and he's not a Christian as far as I know, but I phoned him up and I said, would you mind listening to this song and seeing if your voice would be something to add on this? And I got the same response back. He says, I don't think I know. And he came in a week later and laid that down in 10 minutes. And that's just how it happened. So it's as much a surprise to me as it will be for any listener.
Mm-hmm. But it's a pleasant surprise because it just all works together. I mean, it's so neat in how that all comes together.
There's a diversity there that's kind of shocking. How it almost seems like these things should have always been together.
Yeah.
You almost hear it like it's familiar, and yet it's so not familiar. But when you think about God being triune, like there's diversity in the very quality, the very DNA of God, and that mm-hmm. God creates out of that DNA, and the diversity, the unity and diversity that we see throughout the cosmos is one of the major themes of God's greatest handiwork, you know. And so it shouldn't be surprising, but... You know, but in a world where we tend to homogenize things so we can market them clearly, we have lost a delight and beauty in radical diversity.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that you talk about diversity too is there's a real diversity in sort of the sources of the songs. You know, the first song, Bring It On, the source is the Canadian winter. You've got Syrian refugees, the Shoal Lake 40 First Nation, St. Augustine, Ash Wednesday, Palm Sunday. How does inspiration work for you? Where do you, you know, you take these multiple sources of inspiration? How does that work for you in terms of distilling that into a song?
Well, I think, you know, like, you know, people often say our greatest weaknesses are also our greatest strengths, and I'm a scattershot guy. I mean, I've always got 10 books on the go at the same time. If a rabbit crosses my trail, I have to chase it. it makes me a very scattered guy. I'm unfocused. I'm just constantly running after this and that and the other thing. But what it's done for my music is I've got all these influences that are constantly coming at me. I'm just interested in so many things. And sometimes I wish I could settle down and just focus on one thing and really master it or learn it. But I think in terms of what I do, that weakness, so to speak, has become the strength of my music, where if you start to look at the sources of my music, they're so diverse. They're ancient, fathers of the church. It's indigenous wisdom. It's things from nature. It's justice issues of our day. It's my own human experience, my life, parents failing health, or love and longing. All those things are all constantly running through my mind all the time. And so that's what you get, I guess, as a songwriter, when you've got that kind of an uncontrollable brain and imagination. And it could be frustrating for the mm-hmm. people around you, but I think it makes for some good... music eventually.
Right. Now, you talked about where the good way lies before, but is there an overarching theme to the CD?
Yeah, there is. And it's in that title itself. It's the title comes from Jeremiah 6:16, which says, go stand at the crossroads, ask for the ancient paths, see where the good way lies, and walk in it. And I sort of stumbled on that verse about a year ago, and I couldn't move away from it. And I'm not even a guy to memorize Bible verses. I just don't. I'm not that kind of person. But this one wouldn't leave me. And I think when we look at sort of the social chaos we're seeing south of the border right now, we sort of realize this is the time to go stand at crossroads. We're definitely at a profound crossroads. Mm-hmm. And see if there's anything that we can look back on that might help us move forward. And I just think that's good wisdom in general. Everybody wants to know how to move forward. I think we have to look back first and realize that we've got deep traditions, we've got deep wisdom, both in the Christian, Judeo-Christian understanding and indigenous wisdom. in literature, and everywhere it's there, but we have to pause and be quiet and wait and hear that voice before we move forward. I think this is really important. And I think in terms of my own, the indigenous influence on this new album, what they have that they can help us as Christians recover, because it's in our DNA to understand that the Creator is good, and therefore what the Creator created is good. And our own earliest teachings see us as gardeners of God's good creation, and we've turned the earth into a business opportunity. And the damage, the far-reaching damage of that is really starting to show, and we're a very, very ugly head. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the indigenous sort of understanding that's going to help us see in our Christian understanding that we knew this too, and we need to recover it as a way of moving forward. Here to garden the earth and to flourish each other, that what it means to be fully human, first and foremost, is that we are flourishers of that which is not ourselves. Of that which is not ourselves, whether that be creation itself or each other. Of course, we see that witnessed in Christ's own ministry and teaching, for sure.
Right. Looking at all of this, is there, this is a hard question to ask because it's such a difficult one. Is if you had to choose one song on the CD or one or two songs on the CD that really spoke to you as you were working on them, which of those songs would it have been?
Well, certainly Where the Good Way Lies. There's a song on there called And We Danced.
Yep.
That one for me, I mean, I just find myself still, like usually when I finish an album, I can't listen to it for about a year, and I find myself still going back to that song. There's something in there, I find often my songs know things that I don't know, and I feel there's something in that song that knows something that I don't know that I'm supposed to discover, and that's almost all I can say about it right now. I'm just drawn to the song. I know right. I know something.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other would be probably it's a song called Let Beauty Awake, which comes from an N.T. Wright sermon that quoted a couple of stanzas of poetry from Robert Louis Stevenson.
Mm-hmm.
So the sermon and the poem and my own insights got mixed up into that. Also at a time that my father is dying of cancer and I'm having to sort of deal with this mystery of death being a profound and good part of life. And how do I deal with the grief and the loss, but also the mystery, the awesome mystery, that physical death too. So those would be three that jump out pretty quick for me.
Right. Well, let's take one final break, and then we're going to come back and finish our conversation with singer-songwriter Steve Bell. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM. Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Bring It On from Steve Bell's new CD, Where the Good Way Lies. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to wrap up our conversation with Steve Bell. What's been the reaction to the CD so far?
Well, you know, it's everything from like uber enthusiasm to total silence, and I've come to expect this. The album is a little different, not entirely different. There's some real classic sort of Steve Bell stuff in there, but there are some new things. And so usually what ends up happening is for the first 3 months after an album, there's people that sort of get it right away, and you get this great rush of enthusiasm. And then there's all kinds of people that just, it's not what they're expecting, it's not what they were hoping for, and so there's a silence, which usually breaks after about 3 months, and they've had a chance to listen to it a few times. So it's pretty typical that way, but there's been some great enthusiasm so far, so I'm encouraged by it.
Is that frustrating as an artist when you do new things, because that's where you feel led to go? To know that there may be people who are thinking, this isn't, like you said, this isn't a typical Steve Bell CD, so I'm not so sure about it?
It used to be more frustrating than it is now, but that's more due to insecurity than anything. You know, when you're younger, you're just hoping you're not wasting space on the planet. And so if people don't love what you do, you just take it so personally, you know.
Yeah.
And so when I was younger, this first 3 to 6 months of an album coming out were excruciating. You know, people hate me, you know, and it's just the worst. And now this is my 20th album. I just know exactly what's going to happen. I know that there's people that are never going to like this record, but that most who give it a chance will come to find something of worth in it eventually. And so I've just learned to sort of let it go. It'll have its own life. It's these are the songs that presented themselves, and so these are the songs I recorded as best as I can, and then I'm already thinking about the next album. I've got a couple songs that
right.
I've written recently, and so my mind is already there.
Yeah, I was going to say, is it too early to start thinking about a new CD? But obviously not.
You know what? The second the next song is written, you're working on your next album.
Right.
So I just happened, a song came to me about a month ago, you know, just as this was coming out, is a new song. And so my first thought is, okay, we're back at it. So
yeah.
I'm already in that mode.
You're on, okay. Where can people find out more about the CD and more about you?
The easiest place is just stevebell.com. And it's a fairly extensive site. There's links to a blog. There's links to our concert schedule. There's links to all my CDs and all the products. There's links to press and interviews and all that kind of stuff. So there's a ton of stuff on there, probably more than anybody cares about. But if you're interested, it's all there.
It's all there.
The music, though, can also be gotten on all the traditional digital formats,
yep.
Tunes and Spotify and all that. It's all out there.
Great. Steve, thanks very much for your time tonight.
I always appreciate your interviews. I really do. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for listening to Arts Connection today, and thank you to my guest, Steve Bell. And if you miss a broadcast or want to hear it again, look for archive programs on artsconnection.ca. Be sure to tune in next week at 9 p.m. Eastern Time for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@artsconnection.ca. Follow us on Twitter @Selah13. Look for the Arts Connection page on Facebook, or check out the Arts Connection blog at blog.artsconnection.ca. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.